the Award Podcast is brought to you by Naked City Brewery.
Yay! Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 168 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Boom, indeed. As always, folks, we've got a great episode for you this week. Comedian and very nice dude and fantastic businessman, owner and co-creator of Earwolf Network, owner and co-creator, or maybe just creator of Comedy Bang Bang on IFC and on the Earwolf Network as a fantastic podcast. Scott Aukerman will be joining us here shortly. In the backyard. Oh, my God. Yeah. It's going to be great. Let's see. We're currently up on the iTunes front page again for this episode featuring Scott. Welcome to the new listeners. I hope you guys enjoy the show. What we do is we talk a little bit to you, and then we get to the interview. So, bear with us here. Bear with us, folks. And maybe you'll enjoy it, right? Yeah. I know there's thousands and thousands and hundreds of billions of podcasts out there, and you chose to listen to this one today, so we appreciate that. That's for sure. One thing to get right to it here. We had to make some changes to our RSS feed recently because, as you may have noticed, we have a new sponsor to the show, Naked City Brewery, which we're very, very happy to have. But in order to get that, we had to switch over our statistics and readable stats over to CairoRadio.com. And when we did that, our RSS feed kind of broke. And we don't know how to fix it. We're still kind of looking at it to see if we can do stuff differently. But if you use a podcatcher to get this podcast, which I do, as a matter of fact, I use a podcatcher on my Android device to get podcasts just downloaded directly to my phone. I can no longer do that, and you can no longer do that for the Air Raid podcast for the time being. I don't know what's happening. I don't know why it's broken, but that's the case, and we're still trying to work on it. So if you still want to get this show, you can either stream it from our website at air-raid.net. You can find it on Stitcher. Over at iTunes on the Zune Marketplace, which I don't think is called Zune anymore, but the Microsoft podcast page. You can also find it at CairoRadio.com and many other places. You can still stream the show from the website, and if your podcatcher has a streaming capability, you can stream it from your podcatcher. You just can't download it to your podcatcher. I don't know what it is. If you guys know, if you have any idea, please email me, Aaron at a... Aaron at air-raid.net. Okay, so now we got that out of the way. Let's see. I hope your week has been good. Mine has been a little bit crazy. I don't talk a lot about what I do for my day job on this show, and there's good reason for that. One, I could get in trouble for it back at my day job. But I think if you've been listening to the show, you have probably been able to figure it out. It's slipped a couple times. I am a geologist for a local government here in, or a government entity here in the Washington State. And it's a stressful job. And one of my duties as a geologist for this government entity is to make sure that people are following the rules and regulations, keeping in compliance with state water quality requirements or laws. for lack of a better term, and also critical area laws and rules and codes and standards and things like that. And it is, like I said, a stressful job at some times. I am not a liked man at my place of work. A lot of what I do comes down to compliance, and I do a lot of shutting people down, shutting projects down, shutting construction down. And the other day was no different. Let's see, how should I phrase this? I showed up to a place where we had had some problems before with a certain someone. It's been kind of an ongoing problem for about the last 7 years. And I show up, and he's got a pretty egregious violation that's going on his site. And so I shut it down. No questions asked. I didn't even talk to the guy. I just shut it down because he knows. He knows. I've been working with this guy long enough. He knows what he's supposed to do. But come to find out, that shutdown got him fired. And I don't know how I feel about that. I've had a lot of problems with this guy in the past. I know him to be somewhat of a thief. I know him to be a liar. And you know, he does not operate very well. He doesn't pay the people that work for him. And when you're in this type of line of work, you know, the stories follow you around. And you hear things about people. And you build that up in your mind in the background. And you try not to let it kind of irk in and force your hand in certain situations, which I think I'm pretty good at. I've been doing this for a little while, for a long while, actually. And you know, I try to stay on the straight and narrow, and I don't let things influence me, outside things influence me. But I do take them into account. I will say that. I am human. I am human, people. But this, yeah. This shutdown of his project got him fired from the company he was currently working at. Well, no longer currently, I guess, right? And I felt bad, man. I felt bad. I mean, I've worked up a callus in this business, definitely, because I've had to. It's been required of me. I can't take things personally, and I can't let things affect me like somebody getting fired or somebody getting reprimanded by their workplace for doing something that was pretty egregious. I mean, I've had circumstances in the past, and I'm not going to go into too much detail on this because some of it is legal, and some of it, you know, I'd just rather not go into it. Maybe some other time. But I have been threatened. I have had my life threatened. And there was one instance where I actually slept with a knife under my mattress for quite some time because I didn't know what was going to happen. It's a stressful job. I've been taken to court many times. I've had to I've been deposed, had to give depositions in very stressful situations. And this is maybe this is my outlet. Maybe podcasting is my outlet, right? I don't know. Maybe we just figured something out there. We could really go down a rabbit hole on this. But the more I told this story to my coworkers and everything about this guy losing his job the other day, the more I didn't feel very bad about it. I don't know. Have you guys ever been in that situation? I would love to hear from you guys. If you've been in a situation where somebody's actions caused you to get them into trouble, or, you know, take it to a supervisor, something like that, and that person gets fired. Have you ever been in that situation? Because no matter who it is, if you've got a heart in your body, I think you're going to feel bad about it, right? I mean, like I said, the more I talk about it, the less bad I feel, because this guy has had a pretty poor track record. And I don't think, you know, the more I tell people about it and tell people about his history, in the place that I work, you know, people are just like, dude, he did it to himself. He's just constantly doing this stuff, rubbing your nose in it, rubbing other people's noses in it, and he's breaking the law. And so, you know, a company's not going to stand for that, and they're going to fire you if you do that kind of stuff over and over and over again. So maybe they're right. Doesn't matter, though. I still kind of felt bad. Who knows? I don't know what kind of money problems that guy has. Maybe he has some. Who knows? Maybe he's totally rich. I have no idea. But I definitely cost him his job. Ouch. Ouch, right? Yeah. So email me, aaron@air-raid.net. Let me know what you think. I'd be really interested in hearing your stories, and maybe we'll read those next week on the Air Raid podcast. So let's do this, shall we? Hey, if you are a new listener to the show, you can find out more about the Air Raid podcast by going to our website, www.air-raid.net. And you can also find all 168 episodes there. You can stream them from the website. I think you might be able to download them as well. I'd have to look into that. But yeah, we've got a bunch of great stuff up there. You can go through all the archives and check out episodes with people like Bob Saget, artists like Macklemore, John Roderick, David Bazan, Grand Archives with people from Band of Horses and things like that, man. I mean, we've done a lot of great shows in 168 episodes, so go there and check it out. Bob Saget. Did I already say? I already said Bob Saget. What about Aisha Tyler? Brian Posehn? Pete Holmes, right? You guys like that? If you're listening to Scott Aukerman episode, you got to like comedy, right? Anyway, okay. Let's do this, shall we? Let's go to our first musical break. We're going to be featuring music by the band Lucius, who listener Jordan from Grand Rapids, Michigan, told me about a little while ago. He tweeted at me, which you can also do, at Air Raid Net, and asked me if I had heard these ladies, and I had not, and they are fantastic. So I hope you guys really enjoy this. This is Lucius. The song is Hey Doreen, and we'll be right back with Scott Aukerman on the Air Raid podcast. All right. Talk to you in a moment.
Yeah.
All right, Scott Aukerman, welcome to the Air Raid podcast, sir. Thank you so much for joining me.
It is my sincere pleasure.
Really, though? Is it really? I had to ask. I had to ask Jim Brewer the other day when we did the same thing. I had to ask him, like, what do you really think about doing phoners? What do you really think about doing telephone interviews?
Well, I'm, you know, afraid of going outside. I have that disease that Howard Hughes had. What is it? Agoraphobia.
Agoraphobia.
I've never
really
decided to name it myself, but so I much prefer speaking on the phone to speaking in person with anyone. I quite like them.
Yeah, well, the whole agoraphobia thing must be just killer when you're up on stage doing a live comedy bang bang.
I'm actually not on stage this tour. We have a hologram, much like the Eazy-E and Tupac holograms. I've recorded everything previously, and it's really good for someone with my lifestyle.
Right, right. You're actually in Australia right now.
Yes, definitely, which I grew to love after seeing Baz Luhrmann's Australian movie. I realized after seeing that, I gotta go there. This looks like too much fun.
With so many different types of spiders and snakes that can kill a person.
Yes, that's the challenge. Don't
right.
get killed, Australians.
Most certainly. Well, how's the tour going so far? You guys are on a tour of the Comedy Bang Bang variety show, correct?
Yes. It's going really well. We just we've had 3 shows so far out of, I think we're doing 15 or 16.
Oh, right on.
Portland was last night, and hot crowd. And it's just been getting better and better, and people can listen to the podcast part of it, which is the back half of the show.
Oh, cool.
And they can subscribe to it and get the podcast every day the next day. And from what I hear, the reviews are good. People have been enjoying it.
Excellent, man. That's good to hear. Now, I was doing my minimal amount of research on you this morning. So, of course, I go to your Wikipedia page, and the first thing that I see is that you were in a band with the guy from, like, No Doubt or something, right?
Yes, that's true. We were a band in high school together called the Naked Postman.
Yeah, and I was looking...
Adrian the drummer is who we're talking about.
Right.
He was the drummer in my band as well, yeah.
Yeah. So what got you into music? Were you always just kind of dicking around with guitar and singing?
Yeah, you know, I growing up, I kind of knew I wanted to do something in show business, but I had a lot of different interests. I was in a bunch of bands actually.
Oh yeah.
Up until maybe. Probably like a year into even me starting comedy, I was still in bands and out there trying to kind of make it as a songwriter and musician. And, about a year into doing comedy and music simultaneously, I kind of realized that I was splitting my focus a little bit. And so I had a really bad gig where I broke 2 strings in the first song.
Oh, no.
And, I was just like, fuck this, I don't want to do this anymore. So quit the band and just focused on comedy, and the world is better for it, for not hearing my music.
Right. So what got you into it? Were your parents in showbiz at all, or did they kind of push you in the artistic route?
No, you know, in fact, I think they didn't want me to go into it. Even now, like, I just had a phone conversation with my dad, where he was talking about how he just saw the musical episode of the TV show.
Yeah.
And he was like, his great compliment was, well, most of your shows are not to my taste, but this one I liked. So I don't think they really wanted me to go into show business.
Yeah.
I think more out of concern, though, too, of, like, you know, it's such a tough business to go into. But I do remember the time when I was probably about 25 or so, when my dad did say, like, well, even if, you know, you don't make it in show business, I kind of have accepted that you're going to be okay doing whatever it is you do.
Right.
Which was nice to hear, you know. So,
yeah, yeah, totally.
But yeah, they were not in show business at all. I mean, we grew up in Orange County, which is about 45 minutes south of Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
And that just seemed like a chasm. Like, you know, how do you get there to Hollywood? I'm in Orange County, you know. How would you even start auditioning for anything? You know, there's no roadmap to how to do it. So, you know, I just had to kind of like move up there and just start doing stuff. And that, you know, when I started doing comedy, that was what was, it really kind of opened my eyes to a whole new way of expressing myself.
Right,
oh boy,
right.
This sounds really
well. How
artistic,
did
but.
Yeah, but how did that transition work out for you? Because, like, you know, I've done some stand up. I do some hosting stuff from time to time. I used to be a musician myself in some you know, not the greatest bands of all time, but
right.
but getting up on stage without like an instrument in front of you, that's kind of, and we've spoken about this on this show quite a few times, like getting up there on stage without like that instrument in front of me, I guess I should say, was terrifying. Like I always had to have like some sort of like shield, you know, the guitar was like a shield for me, or the drum set was a shield for me, from the actual crowd, you know? So what was that transition like for you?
It's true. I mean, you know, I sometimes wish that that I could just have like hit songs that I could play.
Right. Yeah.
Because it just seems so much easier to me. Like I have friends who are in bands, and I, you know, I was saying this to Matt Kim the other night, and I was just like, God, I wish I had your hit songs that I could just trot out, and everyone's happy.
Right. Right. Yeah.
It really is kind of terrifying, and it's a process. It was the same for me because, you know, like I grew up as an actor who was also in bands. So for me, you know, being up on stage, I always have the shields of either a song and a guitar or a play that I was in character of. So when
right.
I first started doing comedy, I started doing a team act, and I had the shield of, we were doing like sort of sketches in the guise of a live act. And
right,
so
right.
I had that shield up there in front of me for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I started doing solo stand-up, kind of your prepared material is your shield, where you're like, hey, these are the jokes I wrote. And then you use that as a shield. And it wasn't until I started doing the podcast. And even when I started doing the podcast, I used kind of, I planned it out a little more, and I used that as a shield.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't until I started truly just extemporaneously talking and being in the moment, and I dropped that shield, where I really truly felt like I kind of figured out what I wanted to do in terms of my identity as a performer. And it's really been kind of liberating to be able to have this whole section of the show that I'm doing right now on the live tour be totally improvised, and I'm just being myself, you know, and I'm just coming up with stuff off the top of my head. And that's where it's the most fun for me. Even though there are parts in the live show that I'm doing right now, there's, you know, I do about a half hour of material up at the top, that's planned out. I still try to be in the moment and, mess with the rhythm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because anytime you're doing just what amounts to it, a performance and a pre-planned, really rehearsed performance, you're not giving the audience everything of yourself, you know?
Right,
so
right.
It's been really thrilling for me to just kind of be traffic in something that I hadn't really done in my career up to a few years back.
Yeah. Now, does that just come with time? Like what you were saying is like you now are kind of comfortable. You're comfortable with doing improv, for these live shows and stuff. Is that something that you develop over time, or is that something that you've been comfortable with from the start?
I wasn't comfortable with it. But, you know, like Paulus Hawkins once told me the story about when he started as a comedian in Philly, how terrified he was to talk to the crowd.
Right. Like crowd. You mean like crowd work or something? You mean like crowd work?
Yeah, exactly. He would come up, he would do his material, and he would never engage the crowd.
Oh, okay.
And then the first time he ever talked to someone in the crowd and had a conversation with them, then he realized that that was all he wanted to do. Like, he didn't want to do his material anymore.
Right.
So it's really fun, and it really is something that, you know, is unique and makes people realize that's why they go to a stand-up show, is to see a unique performance. Otherwise, you could just listen to the material on a record or something like that. You know, you want to see that kind of, like, live, spontaneous energy that comes out of that.
Totally, totally, yeah. Hey, sorry to barge in here, everybody, but we got to remind you guys that we are now sponsored by the wonderful people at Naked City Brewery and Tap House, located here on Greenwood Avenue North in Seattle, Washington. This is a wonderful place, man. I love going there, like I've said many times before. We can take our kid in there, and we can just eat and drink great food and drink, you know, wonderful, awesome, amazing beer. I was down there actually the other day. They just had their 5th anniversary, which was big doings down there. Had myself a Naked Burger, which was awesome. One of the Naked City Big Labrewskis, which was created and bottled, by the way, especially for this occasion here. And it's a White Russian Imperial Stout. They have it in bottles, available locally here in Seattle. But if you're outside of the Seattle area, you go to your favorite pub, mention this to them. Suggest that they start carrying Naked City Brew, because you will not be sorry, folks. And we want you guys to patronize them. Patronize, is that even a good word anymore? I don't even know what that means. But we want you to go to their Facebook page, Naked City Brewery and Tap House, and also on the web, nakedcitybrewing.com. And if you're in Seattle, go and visit them at 8564 Greenwood Avenue North here in Seattle, because it's just a fantastic place. It's really comfortable in there. The food is great. The beer is great. The people are awesome, and you're really going to like it. So they help us keep the lights on. So please help them out. Visit their webpage. Like them on Facebook. Tell them that you love this partnership with the Air Raid Podcast because you love us, and now you love them. Help us out, right? That's right. Naked City Brewery and Tap House here in Seattle. Ah, they're fantastic. And they're helping us out, so help them. All right, back to the show. So do you still have time to pluck around on the guitar now?
My wife just bought me one for my birthday, actually.
What'd she get you?
Which was really fun. I rented a house that week. Up in Central California, and I had a bunch of friends over, and the day of my birthday where she gave me the guitar, Matt Besser happened to be up there that day and had brought his guitar, and he brought a songbook of a bunch of songs, so we ended up just like, I hadn't played in a while, and I ended up playing with him all night.
Yeah.
And so lately I've been getting a little bit more into it, and over the years I've still have, like, you know, I messed around on GarageBand and made some songs for my wife and stuff like that. But
yeah,
it's definitely really fun to do. But I would not say that I'm the world's greatest guitar player either. I'm you know, barely passable. I never took any lessons. I just taught myself.
Yeah. Were you ever the type of guy to? Because this is how I was, especially back in college when I was like playing in bands and earning a little bit of money doing it. Like, I would always get, whenever I would see another band, like, I would always get, like, super jealous if they had, like, a really good guitar player. Like, I would just always,
yeah,
just, like, you know, I'm always, like, comparing myself to the other guitarists in the crowd, you know? Were you ever like that?
It's playing guitar really well is something I wish I could do. Like,
yeah,
play lead. Like, I play a good rhythm guitar, but I can't. I don't know how to play leads. I've never taken lessons. And I've never, like, sat there and picked out leads or, like, figured it out or anything like that. So it's definitely, like, when I see guitarist doing it, or when I see pianists, I would really love to play the piano.
I can
only do that a little bit. I sometimes think to myself, like, oh, I should take lessons. And then I realize that I'm busy doing a million things.
Yeah.
On the TV show and can't stick around on the guitar all day, unfortunately.
Right, right. Let's do this.
There's always retirement.
That's true, man. You got plenty of time. Retire early. Let's do this. Let's go to our first or our second musical break here. We're featuring music by the band Lucius. I think that's how you say it. It's either Luscious or Lucius. Not really sure.
Lucius?
Is it Lucius? Is that what it is?
That's what I would guess. But
the two blonde ladies. Like, I don't know if they're twins or not.
I don't know the band, but that's how I would pronounce that one.
There you go. Well, great song. This is Turn It Around, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears with special guest today, Scott Aukerman. Stay with us. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Joining me here on the line is Scott Aukerman, the co-creator of the Earwolf Network and also the host of Comedy Bang Bang and many, many other things that you are doing.
Hello.
Welcome back, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining me again. It's a real pleasure to talk with you.
Thanks.
We talked a little bit about you being in bands and things like that before in the first half there. What I would like to transition to is how, like, you know, the podcast got started and then transitioning into actually being a television show. I mean, that's pretty big, man.
That's weird, right?
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't happen all that much.
Where's my TV show?
I know. Well, hey, how do I know this isn't a TV show? it was a really cool situation, but one that I didn't expect. I mean, I was just doing the podcast for fun.
Right.
I started doing it because a local radio station, Indy 1031, just offered me a show and for no money. And I'd always kind of grown up fascinated by radio DJs and had wanted to do it. And so I thought, okay, yeah, I'll try it out. But yeah, I mean, I never did it with some kind of secret plan that if I started doing a radio show, I would get a TV show. I don't think you could plan that, really, you know.
No.
The network IFC, they just offered me the show because they were big fans of the podcast. I never went in and pitched it. I never said, hey, will you please listen to my podcast and base a TV show on it? They were really cool, and they really liked me, and they offered me the show. It's similar to the podcast, and it shares the same DNA, I think.
Yeah.
But it's also its own thing. It has its own tone. So it's been really exciting, and it's been fun to watch the TV show grow into what it is now.
Yeah. Is there any fear involved in that? Like when you're making the transition from podcast into television, like, is there any fear that you have? Like about, are people going to like this, or is it even going to be picked up, or, you know, all that stuff? Or you just go by the seat of your pants?
Weirdly enough, I really felt more confident about it than I have felt about any other TV project I've worked on. When we first started figuring out, I didn't know what we were going to do, and it was a big process of experimenting and figuring out what the structure would be, you know, through IFC and also with our director and our writers. And, you know, it really was a big experiment. But the whole time we were doing it, I kept kind of going, oh, no, this is going to be really good. This is going to be really good.
Yeah.
And all the way through the pilot, I was like, oh, this is turning out great. This is really good. And then once we completed the edit, I was like, oh, man, this is the best thing I've ever done. So I always felt really confident about it for some weird reason. Like, I just knew that if they gave me this show that we would figure it out. And I'm really glad that it came out the way it came out. I mean, we kind of lucked into it in a way, but it's that kind of luck mixed with being a genius.
Now, is that because, do you think it like worked so well because this was your own thing? Like you weren't afraid of it because you knew, I don't know, somewhere in the back of your mind, you know, this was your thing that you've been doing and you're not worried about what happens with it because it is just that, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's maybe true. I mean, I've made a lot of TV pilots for other people that didn't star myself. And, you know, it's always kind of a process of, like, figuring out how best to showcase those performers. But this was a little bit different of just, like, this was my shot at making a TV show and making the TV show I've always wanted to make ever since I was 15 and had a public access show. This was my shot to make that TV show I wanted. So I always knew what I wanted to do, and I was always very confident that it was going to be great. And I was lucky enough to work with really talented people who brought it to life, and then also really talented performers who graciously agreed to be on the show and be really funny and sort of make me shine by association.
Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
So what's coming up now? Like, what do you see in your future? What's coming up for Comedy Bang Bang and Scott Aukerman? Are you done with what you're doing right now?
Yeah, I'm trying to get through this tour, which is going to be another couple of weeks, and having a lot of fun on that. And then the second half of our second season premieres on October 18th.
Mm-hmm.
So we have 10 more episodes going until the end of the year, and they're great. The first episode on October 18th has Rainn Wilson from The Office.
Oh, cool.
And Andy Daly, who's one of my favorite people to have on the podcast, one of the funniest guys around. And then, you know, we have some great shows. We have a Halloween show with Pee Wee Herman.
Nice.
We have a Christmas episode with Zach Galifianakis, and a lot of really crazy shows in between that. So I think I'm really proud of the second season of the TV show. It's been a dream come true, and we're doing things that I never thought that we would be able to get to do. And I think the response to it has been so great too. I mean, people have really said that this season has been really amazing, and it's turned into one of their favorite TV shows. So I'm just really grateful for that.
Oh, that's fantastic, man. That's fantastic. So going forward, Scott, what are your biggest fears? Like, what, you know, concerning personal life, concerning work, what are you afraid of?
Death, I think, looms over us all.
That's the easy answer.
But, you know, as far as work goes, I think the biggest fear is you want to feel like you're making the show and people are watching it. And right. I guess my biggest fear would be that people wouldn't pay attention to it. And that it would just be kind of one of those things where we did one season or two seasons and then it disappeared and people forgot about it. You know, I mean, we're really proud of the show, and you know, IFC is an emerging comedy network, and they don't have, you know, the number of viewers that, you know, a Comedy Central has or what have you. But, you know, it's been gratifying to see that the fans are passionate about it. And so I would just like more people to watch it, because, you know, we're super, super proud of it. And I think it's, you know, one of the funniest shows out there. And I'm biased, but I also know comedy. So, I mean, as far as personally, you know, I guess my fear is that I would, you know, be alone and die within the next couple of years and not live a longer life.
Well, maybe start jogging. I don't know.
How do you know I don't jog? What are you watching this?
Hey, man. I don't want to get into that. So it sounds like your biggest fear for your career is basically an electromagnetic pulse.
Yes. Like, if one of those, recorded media.
Right, right. That would be my biggest fear too, because I'm not famous yet. But, your wife Kulop came on this show, maybe 2 years ago. Or something. We had her and Howard. Yeah, we had her and Howard here in studio when they did a live Who Charted at the Laugh Hole here in Seattle, and it was totally fantastic, man. You've got a great woman there.
Thanks. Keep away from her.
Hey, I've got my own and a daughter as well. You know, it's rough, dude. Do you guys have any plans for family life in the future?
No plans that we're willing to share with the likes of you.
I take no offense to that.
don't worry. We'll put out a press release once we start making plans.
Well, you sell those photos to Inside Edition and you pay for her college. That's it. Hey, Scott, thank you so much for joining me today, man. I really appreciate it. That last question was a little bit awkward, but, you know, whatever.
Hey, you know, if there wasn't an awkward question in an interview, you're not doing your job.
Exactly. Well, hey, thanks a lot, and best of luck on the tour ahead. And hopefully one day when you're back in these parts, we can get you actually in studio, have a proper chat in person.
Cool, I'd like that. Thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, totally, man. All right, have a great day, Scott.
All right, bye.
Bye. All right. Well, there you have it, folks. There's our little chat with the very, very kind man, Scott Aukerman. And of course, I make things awkward at the end of the episode. Isn't that great? kind of a normal thing for me. I've been noticing. It's an ongoing trend. It's an ongoing trend. Well, I'll tell you, listening back to this, I already feel better for getting that guy fired. Not Scott Aukerman, of course, but if you were listening to the first part of the show where I was talking about a guy that I got fired, I'm already feeling a little bit better about it. I got it off my chest, and there we go, right? We have to move on. We have to move on. That's all part of being human. Oh, man. Hey, well, thank you guys so much for listening this week. We really appreciate it. If you like the show, please go to iTunes and rate and review us because that really does help in the long run. Gets us up in the standings and keeps us up there so more people can find out about the show. Also, another thing that you can do for us, too, is share us on Facebook or like us on Facebook and share us with your friends. We're making a go at this. We've got the sponsor now, the Naked City Brewery and Tap House, which is helping us out with some of the monetary needs that we have. And they're a great, they've just been awesome so far. And I think this is going to be a really great partnership. So, we need your help too. Share us with your friends, tell people about the show, because we want to just keep growing and keep up, all this free entertainment, for you guys, because this has become a passion of mine and, I want to keep doing it. But it does take time. It takes money. And we could use your help. So, with that said, thank you again in advance for doing all that stuff. You've now got homework from the Air Raid podcast. Rate and review on iTunes and share us with your friends. And go and visit Naked City Brewery and Tap House on the web and on Facebook and on Twitter and wherever else they are. And also remember to request their beer at your local pub. Because it is really, really good. Really good, you guys. We want to see them do good things because that only helps us out as well. Plus, they're good people. I mean, that's not the only reason, right? We don't want to be selfish, but we want to help them out as well. Thank you, guys. Remember as well, you can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter at Air Raid Net. And anywhere else that podcasts are not sold. Right? You can find us for free on the web, cairoradio.com and www.air-raid.net. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think I'm going to go drink some coffee. I'm preparing to talk with this guy that's coming into studio. Should I tell you about it? It's going to air next week. This guy, Matt Beatty. I'm really excited to talk with this kid. He goes under the moniker Ruler, and we'll have this for you next week because it's just fantastic. Fantastic music. This kid's got a huge future ahead of him. So make sure to tune in next week. And also go check out the archives, of course, with Macklemore and people like Eddie Pepitone and Moshe Kasher and Brian Posehn, Aisha Tyler, Grand Archives, bands like Pickwick, David Bazan from Pedro the Lion, Mudhoney, Presidents of the United States of America. I mean, come on, people. What are you waiting for? Go check out the archives, and that's it. I'm just trying to draw this out until we get to 50 minutes. That's what I'm trying to do. That's what I'm trying to do. Is it apparent? I think it probably is. All right, everybody. Hey, thanks for listening once again. We really appreciate it. Make sure you do your Air Raid homework, will you? All right. This song that we're going to go out with today, Until We Get There by the band Lucius, their new album, I think this is their debut album, is now available, right? Yeah, it's now available. I had it all pulled up, and now I can't freaking find it. Hold on just a second. Let me find this for you guys. There we go. I think it's called Wild Woman. Their new album, their debut album. And it's available now. And you can find it at momandpopmusic.com. Order it directly from them, or go to you know, a store and actually buy a hard copy of it, because it should be there as well. This is a great album. I'm really digging it. I'm really digging it. Thank you, Jordan from Michigan, for sending me this stuff. Anyway, this is "Until We Get There" by Lucious, and we'll be back next week with another rousing episode of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. All right, everybody, have a good one.